When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh. Chuck's with me. Say hi, Chuck.
Hi.
And I know it titillates Chuck when I say this, so welcome to Stuff You Should Know.
It does. I love it.
Yeah, I know you do, Chuck.
60 episodes in, and we're introducing the show as the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you got to try new things sometimes.
Evolve. I like it.
Yeah. Pretty soon I'll just start making up new names for it. People will be like, wait, did I download the right one? Yeah. So, Chuck, as I am usually wont to do, I have an anecdote from my past that will nicely segue into what we should talk about today.
I like these because I don't know about these beforehand. I really don't, so they're always interesting.
This one's not, you know, by comparison, it's not that good, so don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
But, you know, when I was a slightly younger man in my early teens, I had a friend named Jeremy whose dad was a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And he was this tough guy, but he also was fairly cultivated, you know, cultured. He and his friends, some of them firefighter buddies, used to go out at night and engage in what they called clumping.
Okay.
All right. Now, and I've never heard of it before or since. I think they made it up, actually.
Yeah.
But clumping involved going into somebody's yard and stealing plants that you liked and then taking them back to your yard and planting them there.
Right.
It's
a nice thing for a firefighter to do, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, if he's saving lives, I think he can kind of get something of a pass, but it always struck me as a little wrong, maybe.
Yeah. Well, stealing.
It is stealing, quite clearly. But at the same time, it's like, it's even more than stealing. You know, it's not like stealing somebody's cell phone. You don't have anything really attached to that except, you know, maybe your phone book in it. This is, you know, somebody's cultivating a garden. Somebody's taking the time to plan this and tend to it. And now all of a sudden there's huge holes filled with dirt.
You're stealing their time. You're stealing their money that they put into the planting.
Sure. Now comes the segue. You want to know what the opposite of that is?
I have a good feeling. I know
Let's
what
hear
it is. Guerrilla gardening.
That's precisely right. And, and Chuck, now, I know there has been some discrepancy in the very recent past. We're talking the guerrilla, as in like guerrilla warfare, right?
Right. Not the apes gardening. Although gorillas aren't apes, are they? I can never remember.
I don't know. I know they're primates. Let's go with that.
Sure.
Okay. So yeah, we're talking guerrilla gardening, and it is pretty much what it sounds like. It's, you know, making stealth maneuvers into usually untended areas or neglected or overgrown vacant lots, that kind of thing, and, you know, tilling the soil, weeding it, and planting new stuff.
Yeah, I think this is really, really cool.
I do too, because it's subversive, which, you know, I'm very hip to, like, you know, the smart mobs thing.
Right.
But it doesn't harm anyone.
It doesn't harm anyone.
No, as a matter of fact, it makes the world or the city or wherever you live and you're doing this a much better place.
Right. Although some people still try and shut it down, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, good, because I got a great line for that.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, you want to give a little background, a little history on guerrilla gardening?
Yeah, sure. Originally, I believe it started in New York City in the early 70s.
The modern version did, yes.
Right. Do you have info on the ancient version?
Apparently, it goes back to 1649.
Okay.
When a guy named Gerard Winstanley, I believe, He's from Surrey, England. He started a group called the Diggers.
Uh-huh.
And they were basically the first guerrilla gardeners. They just went into places that they didn't own, plots of land they didn't own, and started planting.
I wonder if they were planting crops, actually, to feed themselves.
They were planting vegetables, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the modern version started in the early 70s in New York, and there was a resident there named Liz Christie, mm-hmm. and she founded the Green Guerrillas, and they started hitting up local lots and planting flowers. And the first one, I believe, was at the corner of Bowery and Houston Street, which I know well.
And did you know Bowery is actually Dutch for farm?
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they picked it.
I found it on the Green Guerrillas website.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they, Christy and the Green Guerrillas, actually kind of had a hard-fought struggle at first. That place at the corner of Bowery and Houston, that little neglected park
right.
that no one cared about, all of a sudden, now that they're tending to it and planning stuff, they had a fight on their hands with the city, I believe.
I didn't realize that, actually.
Yeah, they had something of a struggle, and finally the city gave in, saw the error of its ways after about a year, and legitimized it, and it became this community garden, and now it's a memorial park dedicated to Liz Christie.
Very cool. Next time in New York, I'll have to go by.
And she was the one who originated seed bombs.
Yeah, these are really cool.
And originally she was using condoms filled with tomato seeds
really?
Or some kind of seeds in like compost, and then, you know, hurling them into a vacant lot or something like
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. And the condom would disintegrate?
No.
I guess.
No.
So they didn't work?
I mean, it worked. I think the water would get into it or something like that, or uh-huh. maybe she slid it. But even after the stuff planted, you still have a prophylactic laying around, really vacants up a lot, you know?
Yeah. Have you been to New York City, though?
I have, but not since I was young.
Yeah. The condom on the street isn't the strangest thing.
Right, no.
I've seen quite a few.
But there are greener ways to do it, right?
Yeah. I think nowadays the seed bomb is evolved into a clay mixture with like some clay and compost and seed and water, and you just form it into a little ball, and you can just literally you can toss these from your car, and it has to be something obviously that can grow from not having to dig and plant it into the ground, but yeah, it's a seed bomb. Pretty
yeah,
cool, huh?
Yeah. And apparently what like they're dried out, and then when it rains
right.
the thing kind of reconstitutes or dissolves, and then the seeds are spread, and there's
yeah.
this compost that feeds it. Right?
Right. Ideally, I think the seed bombs are done either in the rain or before it rains, right before it rains.
That's very cool.
Ideally.
Yeah, and like you said, you can throw them from a moving car or,
uh-huh.
you know, just kind of drive around, and you're just, you know, guerrilla gardening,
right.
guerrilla gardening.
Spreading beauty.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
I saw a cool video on the Guardian's website of a guy named Richard Reynolds.
Yeah,
did you see him
guy.
Making
awesome.
Seed bombs?
Yeah,
there's a great how-to video if any of you guys out there in podcast land are interested in making your own seed bombs. There's a great how-to step-by-step video with Richard Reynolds.
Right,
and you're absolutely right. He is a cool dude.
He's a very cool dude. While we're on Richard, he was the founder of the London guerrilla gardening movement, mm-hmm. from what I understand, and has a great website, guerrillagardening.org.
Yeah, it's pretty much like the definitive guerrilla gardening
yeah.
website. I know in a Google search, if you type in guerrilla gardening, it's definitely the first one that comes up.
Yeah, which is a good.
It seems the most legitimate as well.
Yeah. He actually, I read a cool thing on his website today where he had been taking care of, it may have been his own apartment complex.
Yeah, it was.
Was it his own?
Yeah, the horse and elephant or the
right.
buggy and something or other.
Right, I love the names for the apartments in London.
It's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
So, yeah, he was had been taking care of his own garden there and eventually got the residents had been paying money toward maintenance, lawn maintenance. And basically the residents started to say, hey, this is kind of fraudulent. This guy has been doing this for free. We're paying money for nothing.
Right.
And he actually got refunded, the 90 residents. He got their money refunded for like a three-year period.
Yeah.
Which was about 100 pounds.
And everything was going swimmingly after that. He had some sort of at least verbal consensus between the paid groundkeepers, the building's owners, and himself that he would take care of this area, this common area.
Right.
And he's doing a heck of a job. The guy has, you know, he's a great gardener to begin with. But as long as he gave the management a month's notice that he was going to stop so they could get that company back in there to do their, you know, terrible job of taking care of it.
Right.
So he's got this agreement, and then all of a sudden things just go sideways, and he's got problems again.
Uh-huh.
And the one problem, you know, it's mind-boggling to me. If you have a vacant lot, if you have a common area, if there's a place where it's just being neglected, and then somebody very benevolently just starts taking care of it, plants it. What's the problem?
I know.
But the problem is there is guerrilla gardening also kind of inadvertently serves as a slap in the face to people who are very interested in rules and procedure and know like their county code enforcement's phone number by heart.
Right, right.
And that's all you have to do is call code enforcement, and all of a sudden this great act is now criminal.
Right.
Which it was in the first place, but everybody kind of looks the other way, right?
Did you see the video on his site where they got shut down?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's on YouTube as well, and it's on his website. And they were actually tending to an area underneath a street sign, I believe, in London on a corner. And at night, usually it's gardening at night, thanks to REM. We can give them a little shout-out. And they do this undercover of the night quite often, and the cops came by, and they shut him down. It's all on tape. And he gets into a little minor argument with them that they're beautifying the area. And the cops, and of course, these are cops in London, so it's all very polite, you know. This is in the United States, it would go down much differently.
I'm sure.
And eventually they, you know, they actually left because they threatened to arrest them. And but they snuck back a couple hours later and finished the job.
Good for them.
Yeah.
And yes, I noticed there's like clips and photo documentaries of like him all over the world.
Yeah.
Doing like guerrilla gardening.
Yeah, and it is all over the world. I saw that there were sites in German and Australia, and here in the United States there are a lot of groups. And like you were pointing out, we don't have one here in Atlanta. But you mentioned that you don't necessarily have to have a group, an organized group that does this, and a website. You can do it on your own.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't get much more low tech than seed bombs.
Sure.
You know, and you can, like you said, just drive around, throw them out the window. See what happens. But, yeah, you could go so far as to organize a group.
Right. Well, which is kind of the cool thing, I think. It goes a little bit beyond just the gardening and beautification. A lot of times it's bringing the community together in a cool way, just like when there's groups that go around and pick up trash, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I know on Reynolds' site there's something called Troop Digs. I think it's like the forum. Uh-huh. You can go and find out who's digging in your area and where they're going to be, that kind of thing, or who you need to contact. And some people, from what I've read about Reynolds, he is completely into beautification. That's his only motive.
Right.
But there's also a very political aspect to it, to guerrilla gardening. It can be a form of protest.
Sure.
Of, you know, capitalism, of urban blight, right. that kind of thing.
Like the city won't take care of itself, so we will.
Right, exactly. And also of, like, food costs, it can be a protest of that.
Right.
And actually, there's this guy in, I believe, Boulder, Colorado, mm-hmm. this past summer. His name was Scott Hoffenberg, and he got slapped with a $2,000 a day fine for guerrilla gardening.
Really?
And the reason he was doing it, he said, was... because food prices had gotten out of hand. So he and a neighbor took up this little right-of-way. You know the little strips in between the sidewalk and the street?
Uh-huh.
They just planted a bunch of cucumbers and tomatoes and squash and all this kind of thing. And one of those people
right.
with rules and procedures, you yeah. know, called the code enforcement. So luckily the county said they were going to try to work with the guy. And I didn't hear what happened, but I have a feeling that if you're a guerrilla gardener and you're gardening actually right out front of your house,
right,
and they're threatening a $2,000 fine, that would probably go a long way to get you to comply with those rules
yeah.
and procedures.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to pick someone's brain who's really against this.
Yeah.
I want to meet the person who sees what's going on and goes home and is just fuming.
Yeah.
How dare they plant those flowers right there?
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious what's happening there.
Yeah. And I don't think I could explain it, but I know for a fact I've met people like that before.
Yeah.
It's always a little unsettling.
These are probably the same people that are the neighborhood associations that just flip out when someone's mailbox looks different than the rest.
And yeah. Those people are a lot of fun. I used to have a friend who lived in my subdivision. His family routinely got letters from the neighborhood association to, you know, move the water skis out from in front of the garage and that kind of thing.
Right.
It's crazy. It was weird.
Yeah.
So Chuck, both of us have expressed an interest in guerrilla gardening. Let's say somebody who's listening to us, you know, wants to get started. Not everybody's against this.
Right.
And actually, from what I understand, local nurseries have a tendency to really kind of support this kind of thing.
Yeah, by
you know,
donating some goods.
The half-dead plants uh-huh. that nobody's going to buy anyway that
right.
may or may not come back to life. Why not? So
right.
what should people look for when they're doing this?
But I just want to point out this very nice impersonation of a half-dead plant you just
did. Like, they helped me.
Yeah, I wish people could have seen that. Well, first thing you want to do is find out, you know, identify your location of where you want to do this. So look for, like you said, sometimes those little strips of land between the street and the sidewalk that are full of trash or grown over with weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Those are good spots, corners that have those. And then you want to find out what kind of plants you want. Indigenous species are good.
Non-invasive. You don't want to, like, plant the new kudzu or anything.
Right.
Which for you non-Southerners is a very fast-growing weed that just takes over absolutely everything.
Right.
It can kill an 80-foot oak tree in a year or two.
Right. Thank you, Japan, for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So, you want to pick out the right plants. And you also, I mean, you're going to be – it's not like you just plant this and then you just leave forever. I mean, if you really want to do it right, you want to upkeep it. So if you don't have a ton of time, you want to pick some plants that require as little upkeep as possible.
Yeah, like drought-resistant plants.
Yeah.
Because of the law of commons. Everybody wants to take as much out of this common pool and put as little back as possible.
Right.
Well, as far as economists would say.
Exactly.
So if you have drought-resistant plants, you can, you know, leave it up to the universe to take care of it.
Right.
I hate that ad.
I know. So, you've got your plants. You need to get your plants. You can ask for donations, or you can buy them yourself if you've got a little extra cash. Gather up a little team, or if you just want to do it yourself, if it's doable by yourself. And then, you know, you go out. A lot of people do it at night. Here in Atlanta, I think in my neighborhood, I could go out in the middle of the day and no one would
take it. Oh, totally. No, same here, I think, as well. And there's plenty of lots around my house that I could go.
Yeah, me too.
Spruce up. Let's do that.
Well, maybe we should.
All right. And if any of you out there are interested in getting into guerrilla gardening, we would suggest checking out guerrillagardening.org,
mm-hmm.
Richard Reynolds' site. He also has a book. Based on the advice of Chairman Mao and Che Guevara,
right.
but about guerrilla gardening. And, of course, you would also be interested in visiting our humble website. You can type in guerrilla gardening in the search bar on howstuffworks.com. And, Chuck, what do you have for us? Do we have any listener mail?
Yep, we have some listener mail.
Listener mail time.
So this letter, Josh, comes to us from a lady named Leah Johnson.
Great.
And Leah says, I liked your How Eco Anxiety Works article. And I also liked how you mentioned the vulture vomit at the end.
Oh, yes. This is a good letter.
Right. I have, in fact, been puked on by a turkey vulture, and it was disgusting. I was part of a raptor rehabilitation program, and we had outdoor housing for them, which we cleaned out once a week. Every time I went to get the turkey vulture out so we could clean it out, or just to give him some time outside, he'd panic and puke all over the place, including on me. Fortunately, I always had on gloves when handling the bird, so the acidity wasn't so much a problem as the terrible smell from the bird of prey diet we were feeding him. Anyway, thanks for making my days better by giving me something interesting to listen to, and yada, yada, yada. We love you.
That's great. Well, Leah, because you send in your listener email, and because of your selfless care of birds of prey,
right,
we're going to send you our set of How Stuff Works steak knives for you and yours. We hope you enjoy them. And if anyone else out there wants to send us an email, you can send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. Send it.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.